studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
And again, we're back another Saturday afternoon right here on what is actually in the land of Atlantis, a sunny day. And if I hear one more person complain about how hot it is, just got through suffering two really heavy rainstorms, I think I'm just going to scream.
Really, really. It's amazing how they can do that. It's not that hot, really, when you get right down to it. It's finally just warm out there and people go insane. And when you're not hitting any records or anything like that.
Yeah, but Oregonians, you know, because we're known for our rain, we don't get hot. We just dry out.
Well, and unfortunately, that's the problem. We're not drying out. The humidity is unbelievably high.
It's only 95%.
Well, 5% more and we have sunshine in the rain.
There you go.
Something. Which is not known to be impossible in Oregon either.
Anyways, if people are wondering that this is not the Weather Channel, I'm Robin, that's Cliff over there, and you can be over here by giving us a phone call right now at 646-721-9887. Or, of course, if you're listening to us on the archives, again, thank you very much for checking us out, and you can contact us by email, talk@krbnradio.com. The chat room is actually open and working, believe it or not.
Good. I just to let you know that the record for this day in history was set in 1967. It was 98 degrees, as well as 1942. It was 98 degrees. That's the record for this day, and that's not that hot, really. When you get right, I guess it is for Oregon, but not really.
Well,
that's not what it is out there now. That was the record. Right now, it's a long ways away from that.
Well, speaking of records. It's kind of open line Saturday. We don't have any particular topic in mind to talk about. We do have a What the Heck segment coming up. And so basically whatever's on your mind that you'd like to talk about, give us a call, 646-721-9887. We got a caller in the queue that we'll get to in just a moment, caller. And again, any kind of open board today, if there's something you want that's bothering you, you'd like to talk about, give us a call. We'll talk about just about anything. As Cliff would say, we have an opinion on everything.
Yes, absolutely. And my opinion is right, of course.
Of course.
Of course. If it was wrong, it wouldn't be my opinion.
That's true. Well, speaking of opinions, let's go ahead and open up the phones real quick here to area code 717.
I wonder where that is.
Well, I guess we'll find out as soon as the computer listens to me. Welcome to the program, 717.
Hey, everyone. It's Mike in Pittsburgh. How are you all doing?
Ah, Pittsburgh. What's the weather like there?
It's not too bad. About 80 degrees, a little overcast. Can't complain.
That's what it normally is here, overcast.
Well, what I want to talk about, everyone, is this my impressions from the first week of this George Zimmerman murder case. What I'm seeing is the media, I'm kind of seeing a crescendo here to the end of the trial, and I'm worried that, in my opinion, I don't think right now, after the testimony yesterday of the witness that said, he saw Martin on talk, I think that in Florida law, that the way the case would go, is I think you can prove self-defense, but what I'm worried about are the jury. I think they're going to feel a little intimidated, some pressure, and quite frankly, they're going to be scared if they let George Zimmerman off because, you know, the family can see the jury, a lot of other people in there, and I think they might fear for their safety, honestly, if they give a not guilty plea. Kind of would like your opinion on this, that, and also I think the media kind of wants that. If he, they're almost building to a point that I think that they want to see a big confrontation, riots, whatever you want to call it, if Zimmerman is let off and not guilty here.
Well, I don't see they're going to feel they're worried about who's going to get them. I mean, you say the jury is worried about their safety.
Yes, the family of Martin are right there. They can look at him. Obviously, as soon as they walk out after the trial, the media is going to try to interview him. It's not like they're going to be able to go into hiding. And I think, honestly, I would feel for my safety if, you know, there's a lot of people that are really against, you know, George Zimmerman now. If they walk out of the courtroom, I think they have a target on their back from a lot of people if they let Zimmerman off.
Yeah, the only thing I remember seeing on there, I was a little confused that I don't know which is what, prosecution. They were interviewing these people, and they were everybody's on the same side. Nobody's for Zimmerman. I mean, they all asked the same questions, and their questions were against what was going on. Nobody seems to have an opposite opinion. Everybody's got the same opinion, it seems to me like.
Do
you mean that Zimmerman's guilty? No, I don't think anybody thinks Zimmerman's guilty at all, necessarily. I mean, when you're sitting there, or you're laying there with this guy on top of you, and he says that he was banging his head, well, we don't know for sure because nobody has so far testified that they saw him banging his head. They've seen the results of banging his head, but they haven't seen it happening. And if I was laying there underneath this guy and he was banging my head on the cement, and I had the ability to reach into my pocket and get a hold of a gun and shoot him, I think I probably would.
I mean, I agree with you. I agree with you, but what I'm saying is, you know, there's a lot of people out there, you know, that if Zimmerman is not guilty, that whether they believe he's not guilty or not, are going to, you know, turn it into a racial issue or, you know, whatever you want to call it. And that's what I'm looking at. As a juror, I would be intimidated, honestly, if I'm deciding and I'm putting a not guilty plea for my safety when I walk out of that courtroom. That's just my, unbiased opinion.
No, you make a good point, is that no matter how the courts rule it, if they decide it was self-defense and let him off, there are going to be people that are going to come in and put their own justice because they can't see beyond the racial aspects of it.
I just want to know who these people are we're talking about. I don't believe anybody. I don't believe that Martin's family is going to do anything like that. They don't strike me as the kind of people that would have a whole group of people behind them to...
Did you see at first, you know, when after it first happened, there were marches. I mean, there were thousands of people marching, you know, that saying George Zimmerman were guilty. Those type of people are going to be the ones, you know. George Zimmerman, I mean, if he walks out not guilty, if you were him, how would you feel? I would be looking over my back or asking, you know, them to put me in some kind of seclusion for a while. I just think it's going to be a lot more bigger issue than it is right now, so to speak, the pink elephant in the room that day if it's a not guilty plea.
Well, I haven't noticed. I haven't seen that. Having watched several hours of it myself, I haven't seen what you're talking about.
I'll put it to you like this. Let's go right to the Rodney King verdict after what happened there. I could see, I don't see as widespread as that, but I could see, on a lesser degree, something that happened after the Rodney King verdict, when the cops were first, acquitted.
Oh, yeah. If I was Zimmerman, I would be changing my name and leaving and going someplace. Hopefully nobody knows me.
Well, I don't know if he would do something like that or not. I don't know how, because he's obviously got people on his side too. But do you see anything like that happening? Do you see anybody? Are there any reports of anybody demonstrating outside the courtroom or anything like that at all?
Well, I'll put it to you like this: if you go on Twitter, not that how reliable is Twitter? A lot of comments like if if Zimmerman's not guilty, fire bullets at, white or Hispanics. I mean, it's a lot bigger issue coming than I believe right now everyone's saying. And I think it's the media's fault. That's my main problem here, is I think the media is going to use it as a story the farther we get along in the trial, and they're going to use it for ratings or whatever. They're going to try to blow it up and sense it more than it really should be.
Well, see, I'm in agreement with you because, like I heard on the news the other day, they were talking about or trying to, not over whether it was self-defense, but whether or not he was racial profiling. It's like, because of this, and I hate to go back to Obama, but it seems like this administration is more about racial profiling than actually justice and more the facts. And there's going to be somebody out there that is going to do like you're saying, oh, yeah, the facts show that he's innocent, but damn it, I don't believe that, and I'm going to take justice into my own hands.
Yeah, and it shouldn't be.
It shouldn't be, no.
But I don't see it happening. I don't see any indication that anybody is in that frame of mind.
Look how much anger there was at the beginning of the trial. I mean, that's all they talk about is that he just went after him because he was a black guy and because he was wearing a hoodie, and he wouldn't have done that if that was a white guy roaming the neighborhood.
See, I disagree. I think he would have. But the point is, I don't see it happening. I don't see any indication that it's happening. There are some people that are upset about it. I don't think that the family is that well put within the black community to do something like that.
Well, maybe not
I don't
family,
think it's the family. It's not going to be the family that starts it, in my opinion. It's going to be the groups waiting outside of the courtroom when the verdict is read, and if it's read not guilty, it's those people that are looking for attention or, whatever their whatever type of, the stuff that they're looking for to promote themselves that are going to start everything out of the, when the verdict is read. And trust me, there's going to be thousands of people outside that courtroom when the verdict is going to be read, going either way. If he's guilty, there's going to be people upset. If he's not guilty, there's going to be even more people upset. So I think it's just boiling to a point here when the actual verdict is read, whenever that day may be.
So we're damned if we do and damned if we don't.
Yeah. Exactly.
So no matter what we are going to do, we've got people that are going to raise hell.
Well, here's an example. The new Black Panther Party, and I'm trying to bring up the article, had a bounty out on George Zimmerman's capture. Even after, if I remember right, even after he was released from prison on his own reconnaissance.
I haven't seen any information at all about groups of people waiting outside the courtroom. I just haven't seen anything about that.
But the caller makes a good point, though. Mike makes a good point that there are going to be some crazy people out there that are going to disagree with the verdict, and they're either going to go after Zimmerman himself or they're going to go after his family or going to do something because, just basically racist. They disagree with the court or disagree with the facts. And
well, the thing is, it doesn't. According to what Mike is saying, it doesn't make any difference what the verdict is. It doesn't make any difference what the literal information is, whether it's right or wrong or indifferent. He says that there's people waiting outside the courtroom to raise hell either way.
Yeah, but it's obviously if George Zimmerman is guilty, the people are going to be more, complaining about it, but if he's not guilty, the people are going to definitely be more violent, causing physical harm. That's kind of the point I'm trying to make.
So you're being racist too, saying that the black people are going to be more violent.
I'm not saying that. I don't want to say that directly, but I mean.
What you are saying.
Okay, let me read a quote here. This is from the New Black Panther Party back in 2012, but they had a $10,000 bounty. One of the organizers, and I'm quoting, said that the United States Constitution granted the right to citizens' rest, but he also said that I don't obey the white man's law and I don't follow the American law.
Well, then we're doomed because we can't do anything right, period.
Is that kind of the point you're making?
If they're not gonna follow any law, he says, I don't follow the white man's law. What are you gonna do? I mean, right or wrong or indifferent, you've got to follow some law. So if it's only yours, if you make it up as you go along, we got a real problem in this country.
Yeah, but hey guys, that's all I really got. I guess just the final thought here is. As a citizen, I'm worried that if we see a not guilty outcome, what's going to happen? I don't think it's just going to, everything's going to be good the next day and everything is going to, be forgotten. I think there's going to be some incidents that you definitely see if there's a not guilty plea, and I can almost guarantee that. Hey, I appreciate the time, guys.
Hey, let me ask you a quick question, Mike, before you go.
Yeah.
Because there's been cases, self-defense cases like this before that we've never heard about. Do you think the fact that Obama a couple of years back came out and made a comment about Trayvon Martin being like his son and bringing it to the national attention is actually creating the problem, and also why Zimmerman's been in jail for all this time?
That's a very good point right there. If our own president is, kind of on one side here and something happens, I can't really put too much into that, but, Obama did say that, obviously if you do any history and look into, Martin's past, he's had problems in school, and there's a lot of incidents. I mean, just look at the pictures on the phone of him holding guns, smoking marijuana. Not that he's that much different than kids his age today, because I feel probably a large percent, quarter of the kids today are probably into stuff like that, but. Just do a little research, looking into Martin's past and, looking at George Zimmerman's past. They're both questionable people. I'm not saying George Zimmerman is a saint either, because, he has domestic violence in his past. I think he was looking for a fight, to be honest with you, and he just found what happened is he picked a fight with someone, and then he found himself, on the bad end of it, and shot the kid. So,
well, obviously, I agree with you that Zimmerman was out to do something to create some kind of unrest. He was carrying a gun, for God's sakes, and I don't even know if that was legal.
Well, I don't know. Just because you're carrying a gun means that you're on unrest. But what I think is that
if you're out there carrying a gun, you've got a problem. There's no reason in the God's green earth to carry a gun. Of course, you see, we don't live in the same place they do. We don't live in the same area they do. We don't live in the same world that they do, for that matter. And so I don't know that we can really understand. And the thing is, Mike, you say that they've got people sitting around waiting that regardless of which way the outcome of the trial is, they're going to create unrest. That's quite probably true.
If George Zimmerman is found guilty, there's going to be a lot of people complaining about it, a lot of, through media, that there's going to be violence if he's found not guilty. And that's not a racist statement. That's just the fact, in my opinion, whether who it is doing it. If George Zimmerman gets off, there's going to be some kind of violence, I can almost, you know, guarantee that. How couldn't there be? I mean, for the last month or so, this is just on the news constantly, whether it's CNN, Fox. This is just the main story, and it's boiling to a certain point at the end.
Well, and I would think also if George Zimmerman's lawyer, assuming that he gets off and is found not guilty, going back to Obama announcing this and making his comments, it's very unusual for a president to get involved like that with a local issue. And because, this is my opinion, because he brought to national attention, has created more focus on Zimmerman than it would have had in any other case, and therefore tarnished the case or tainted the case.
I agree 100% with you. That's and it's going to be interesting to see Obama's reaction on the verdict. You know, when it's read, because he can do it one of two ways here. If Zimmerman's found not guilty, he's going to have to backtrack and kind of tell people, whether you believe it or not, you know, don't go out and commit acts of violence. Or he can say, and this is the worst, if he says, well, you know, maybe the justice system was wrong here, and that's your president of the United States saying that, you know the system's wrong, which is another problem altogether.
I predict that if he has any common sense at all, the president is just going to not say a thing. He's going to keep his mouth shut because he's part of the reason we got into this problem in the first place. But he should not be in making comments like this, and he's already got himself in trouble. So if he makes any comment at all, he's an idiot. But then
by him making a comment initially and starting it, how does he look if he doesn't say anything at all? I mean, he's kind of backed himself into a corner here either way, and he's going to have to say something, because if there's, you know, violence starts, you need your president, you need your leader, you know, to say something to the people to try to squash it. So he's going to have to say something either way, but I know I agree with you. He backed himself in the corner just saying something to begin with.
That's right. And he's already got himself into so much trouble, he doesn't dare say anything. He won't say anything at all, but I'll bet you, you watch and you look and see, he won't say a thing. If he does, he's an idiot. But then I never put him beyond being an idiot.
Well, like I said, that we never would have heard of George Zimmerman if it wasn't for Obama opening his mouth.
Well, hey guys, you wanna keep me online? I'd like to listen to the show. Once I get off air here.
Sure, I'd be glad to. I'll put you on hold. And thank you so much for calling, Mike.
Yeah.
Take care, guys.
Good to hear from you. Has anybody else got an opinion about this? I don't believe that's the case. I believe that, first of all, Obama won't say anything. He's going to keep his mouth shut if he has any smarts at all. But then I've never put any faith in Obama having many smarts, so that's not impossible. I just don't think he's going to possibly – he can't win. No matter what you say, what he says, he cannot win. But what about this whole case? I don't believe – that we have bunches of people out there sitting around. I think that's very, very, very. I don't know. It's
you're giving. How can I put this nicely? You're giving society credit for acting rational and not emotional, because there are people out there that do have a lot of hatred that have already. They've already hung the guy before even the trial, and if they don't get the verdict that they want, then they're going to either try to do their own justice, as Mike was saying, or at the very least, they're going to make life hell for him.
Well, I agree that there's going to be a bunch of people, but I don't think that it's going to be so widespread that we've got to have the president involved in this. I believe, you know, a small group of people may get upset about whatever the result of the case may be, because it seems to make no difference whether he wins or loses, or who wins or loses, we're going to have a problem. But I don't believe that we're going to have the problem that that Mike is talking about. It's just way out of recourse because it just isn't that many people involved in it. Now, if it's really going to get out of proportion, I believe it's going to be racially involved.
Well, I agree, and I think that's what Mike was kind of talking about. And it takes like the new Black Panther Party, you know, somebody to get out there and fuel the fire. I mean, sure, it'll probably burn over after a while. And you know, Obama, mention him again, the best thing he can do is these words that I don't hear him say very often. I'm sorry, I have no comment.
Well, he'd be better off not to comment at all, not the ice arm, sorry, just not to say one thing.
Right.
Because if he recognizes the fact that he's involved in any way, he's lost.
I agree. I mean, he opened up a really bad can of worms. That's why I'm saying that George Zimmerman, if found innocent, should, of course, you can't sue the government unless they give you permission, but compared to any other self-defense case, you know, like I said, we would never even have heard of these guys if it wasn't for Obama opening his mouth. They created more of an issue in this case than any other case that's similar.
Well, the only thing I saw was the fact that regardless of whether it was a prosecution or what's the other one called, anyway, the two sides of that were asking the questions, they were all aimed towards against they were for Zimmerman, let's put it that way, mm-hmm. because he was the one, even when they were talking about him being on the ground, the other guy was on top. And what do you do? I mean, as I say, if I was in a position where some guy was sitting on top of me and bashing me in the nose and bashing my head against the ground, and I had a gun in my pocket, I'd use it, believe me.
Right. Well, let's see if we have another opinion on this. I'll open up the phone lines again to area code 865. So welcome to the program.
Hey, gentlemen. Just very quickly, I've been monitoring the last 24 hours of Blog Talk Radio for progressive media. And when you look at Blog Talk Radio, the majority of the shows are from a different ethnicity than myself. You know, because I happen to be a white ass cracker, as it has been put. Now, these people, they're going to riot. And they it's not so much now, it's not even about Trayvon. It's the way that the defense attorney has gone after the star witness on the stand. And we just don't understand what it is to be black. Well, first of all, I can't understand your language. And when it's bad enough on MSNBC and on NBC that there has to be subtitles, then there's a problem in America. Agree or disagree?
Like, I agree. It's just like telling a tall person you don't know what it's like to be short.
Well, that's the case. We don't understand the black point of view, and we're here discussing this particular case. But the point is, it will be as Mike was saying. Regardless of who wins, there's going to be a group that's going to raise hell, and I disagree with that. The blacks may, because they have the Black Panther Party behind them, and they are the only reason they exist is to raise hell. And so, consequently, I would be afraid of them, but I don't think that they have enough pull.
Do you really think on the white side that they're going to raise hell? Are you serious?
On the white side?
I come from the community. If you do not know this case, learn it. The Shannon Christian Chris Newsom case, where this couple were accosted by a group of black people. Okay? They were held against their will. They were raped repeatedly. One was set on fire. The other was raped to death by a dining room table leg and then put in a trash can to die. Now, when we the people stood up and said, this was not right, because we were white. We were told to sit down. They told Shannon Christian and Chris Newsom's parents they were not allowed to cry in the courtroom. And Zimmerman's case, they actually told Zimmerman's parents that they could not be in the courtroom.
See, I did not know that. I didn't recall that. I didn't see that.
No, it is true. Because they might be considered a witness. Not that they are a witness, because they didn't see anything. So therefore, they couldn't be a witness, right? But they're not allowed to be in the courtroom.
Well, I didn't.
Oh, go ahead.
There is so much more to the Zimmerman case than what the news bites of the media are getting out.
Well, I'm not watching the news bites. I'm watching CNN and HBO or whatever the other one is, Fox. And I'm watching it word by word, and I'm not getting that impression at all. I've watched it with a black lady who made her testimony, and I've also watched with the thing that's got to me is the defense and the prosecution both seem to be asking the same questions, and both seem to be on one side. Nobody's getting into information about Martin at all. Zimmerman is one they're getting information about. It's a one-sided thing as far as I'm concerned that I can see, and I've been watching it pretty closely.
But the thing is, we should be using. Go ahead.
Oh, no, please, by all means.
Well, we should be keeping it. I think your point is that to the facts, you know, keep race out of it and just only look at, stick strictly to the facts. But if they're tainting it, which is what it sounds like they're doing, you know, well, so-and-so can't come up because they're black. You're not seeing it from this point of view. Well, the law is supposed to be, justice is supposed to be blind in that case. But
No, I don't see that at all. I've not seen the indication of it. Them being black or white or otherwise, the fact is they're keeping people out of the courtroom because they could be prejudiced as to what they have to say, because they may be calling them as witnesses sooner or later. We're awfully early in this case to make any decisions at all, but like I say, what confuses me is the defense and the prosecution both seem to be working toward the same direction. And they need to change them. One of them needs to change their mind sooner or later, I would think.
Well, you see, I have no problem with capitalism. I really do not. I'm a pure libertarian, but I have no problem with capitalism. And, you know, the newest thing on the Miami streets and in Orlando is the white-ass cracker shit with Zimmerman's face on it being sold in the black community. Now, what's next, Paula Deen?
I'm not sure that I'm convinced about her either. She has an interesting point of view. Although, Paula Deen, they had to go way back in time in order to bring anything up against her. That's it's ridiculous. You can't be held accountable of every word that comes out of your mouth forever. You know, there's got to be a time limit to it. And for that matter, sometimes things can get away from you. Sometimes you can say things that you don't necessarily mean. But as far as I'm concerned, if you're Paula Deen,
in her particular case, what she was accused of the first time is when she was held up at a bank with a gun to her head, and she was asked for a description.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
If I'm Southern and I'm from the South and I'm terrified for my life and I just had a gun put to my head, and I probably heard that language my entire life, I might have just said those same words.
No kidding.
I'll say it today. I have no problem with it. Because
yeah,
if the NAACP
goes out the window at that point.
Yeah, well, if you can, you know, my grandmother who grew up in that time frame,
mm-hmm.
she still refers to black people as colored people. To me, I think that's the most genteel way to describe, but to them, that is very offensive. So from there, it went to the word Negro, and that was by the other ethnicity's choice to be called. And
well, so it's getting to the point that you don't know what you could say.
Well, yeah, and
right,
you don't
yeah,
hear anybody. You don't hear anybody losing their job for calling somebody a white cracker.
Well, maybe they should.
Or white
well,
cracker.
I never heard this term. Yeah,
I've never heard that thing until I heard this particular case on television.
Exactly.
I'd never heard that phrase. See, I'm a wrong person to talk to about this because I was brought up right here in the Northwest. In the Northwest, we have very little of these problems. I mean, we the problems may be here, but they're not widespread, and I don't hear about them. I'm a pretty
well,
like I've grown up with my head in the sand.
Well, to kind of back that up, we had diversity training one of my jobs about 5 years back, and they tried to do the here's a picture, put something on it, you know, what's your opinion? And 22 of us in the room said, we told the guy, we don't want to play this game. To us, we work with all types of people, and it's just like, they're people. We don't care. You know, as long as you're a good person, we don't care. And I was very proud to hear that. And it was only until the last couple of years is when racism's ugly head seems to be hit in the media again. But that's just my opinion.
And
well,
I'm going to make you mad. So. Go ahead.
Well, I was just simply going to say, you know, I had a child that entered the sixth grade in 2008. And the day Barack Obama was elected, those of a different ethnicity than myself walked into the school, threw down their books in front of their teachers and said, I ain't got to do nothing because my president be black. And so we're dealing with 4 years of that. This is in Tennessee.
See, I'm going to make you upset because as far as I'm concerned, those particular states need to either change their mind or be let go from the system. I mean, they can become their own country. That's just ridiculous to have that sort
please,
of.
Please, by all means, let me be my own country. Get me the hell away from all of you Yankees. By
there you go.
All
you
means, go. Please. God, we tried it once. Can we do it again and when?
Yeah.
It
yeah,
wasn't
there's
my
no
kids that was
up.
Doing it. It was the black kids that came into school. That threw down their books in front of their teachers.
I understand. And see, that's the thing. We don't ever have anything like that here that I know of. And we don't understand it as far as living in with that. I've never been in the South. I've never wanted to go to the South. So I'm just
good,
completely divorced from what?
We don't want to. And please,
no,
by all
that's
means,
probably
I mean,
true.
My particular economy is actually one of the strongest in the entire United States. My particular city is actually the strongest in my entire state.
Mm-hmm.
So please don't say that we're not doing the right thing, because obviously we know how to manage our money and budget things. Is your state,
well, that's not what's
is your budget
wrong.
Balanced? Is your state's budget balanced? Can it hold its own? And does it have a rainy day fund?
Well, I think we're talking apples and oranges here, as far as the budget is concerned.
Well, no, I mean, you're going after the South being negative, and that's not true. All I'm stating is that there is a great divide between those children that are white and those children that are black.
Right.
And it wasn't until 2008 that those that happened to be of a different ethnicity than myself decided, because their president happened to be black, that therefore they were better than not only the white kids, but they were better than their teachers.
Well, it's interesting.
Now they'd be having a president who's be their own color. Okay?
Well, let me throw this out at you. How many presidents have you seen, or news items that you've seen, where a president is elected and school kids are coming up with little dances and songs praising that president?
The only one I can think of would be Barack Obama.
Yeah, exactly. So
we're saying that it was a big mistake to elect Obama as president.
Well, you would think that, you know, we would. So look, in the 21st century, we're over racism enough to elect a black president, but instead it's gone backwards, in my opinion, that we've been more racist since 2008.
I'll agree with that.
I describe my son as the most discriminated child on the face of the earth. He's white.
Why that?
He is tow-headed, blonde-haired, with long curly locks and blue eyes.
Uh-oh.
Do you really think he'll get a job? Oh, no. Do you think if I've been speaking like this and I'd be black? Yeah, do you think he's going to get the job?
Basically, it depends on where you
live.
Won't
be my job.
Yeah, and
will not
bilingual?
Be my child. Not yet, but we're working on that.
Good move. I wish I was bilingual.
But she makes a good point, though, that the term about being colorblind is something I think that has gone by the wayside since 2008, because that's all we hear in the news anymore. It doesn't matter if somebody's innocent or whatever. And then the attitude of, especially if you're white, even with the immigration thing going on, you know, the white person is becoming the minority and you don't count anymore. Good luck.
Well, it is true that the white people are going to be the minority for 2025 or something like that. But it's not black people that are going to be the majority. It's going to be the Mexican or the brown people or whatever you call them.
Yeah, but why favor one over the other is my point.
Well, see, again, we're talking about different parts of the country, and that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about people. We're talking about different places where they live, and that's what makes the difference. And that's the sad part, is that
Let me ask you this one simple question. Where would you feel safer, because you sound as though you're my own ethnicity? You may not be. And if you're not, I apologize, because, you know, sometimes it's hard to hear differential accents. But where would you rather be dropped off? In the middle of a countryside in the south, or in the middle of the inner city?
In the south, or what?
Or in the middle of the intercity.
Yeah.
Of any given huge. We'll say Detroit. That's my favorite location. Yeah, that has been done so well, do you not think? That is just the epitome of America, right?
No, not at all.
That's the American
dream. Detroit is absolutely not. No, it's one of the worst places in the world to live. Oh, no. That's the worst place in the world. That's where all the... What?
I think
what
that's her point. I think that's her point, is that where would you feel safer, in the middle of a southern countryside or in a huge metropolitan?
I'd be safer in a huge metropolitan anywhere but other than Illinois. I'm serious. That's where the huge.
So you wouldn't have a problem. In the Atlanta ghetto. Or you wouldn't have a
problem in
Miami.
Well, see, again, I wouldn't have a problem in Miami. I wouldn't have a problem in New York.
You wouldn't have a problem in Miami.
No. I wouldn't.
So you speak Spanish.
No. No,
then
I don't.
I think you would have a problem in Miami.
Okay.
In the middle of
I disagree.
Ghetto.
Okay, well, see, I I would prefer not being let off in the middle of the ghetto, no matter where, in the South or wherever. You know, I mean, where I'm not, given an option.
Memphis.
Pardon?
God, we've been trying to drop Memphis for years now.
See, you're working entirely in the South. Everything you've mentioned is in the South, except for Illinois.
No, I said Detroit. I said New York. I said Chicago. Those are all
okay,
far
any of those would be
fine.
Well, Chicago is still Illinois. Illinois is where all of the major crime families have lived forever.
You're going
what?
DCC.
What?
Do you have a gun permit?
No. I don't have a gun permit. I've never felt a reason for needing one. See, I've been in big cities. I've spent time in big cities. I've been in little communities. But I've never found I stay away from the slums or whatever you want to call it, the places where we have major crime. I don't see any reason for going there.
But what if you had to?
If I had to?
Yeah, what if you were a delivery person and you had to make a delivery in that area?
See, I don't believe I would have a problem. I believe that, you know, I don't believe they go after you just because you're white, period. I mean, there are people that would do that. I just don't believe they are the majority.
Probably not the majority, but
are you
all
gonna,
the
are you gonna do it after? Are you going to do it after the Zimmerman trial? I think it's where we were all tied into, correct?
Yeah.
Because I certainly wouldn't. It wouldn't matter what the outcome was. It's not going to be positive for those that are of lighter colored skin.
Well, like
and
Mike
it doesn't matter what the verdict is.
I agree. Just like Mike was saying earlier, is that even if they find him not guilty, there are still going to be people like in groups or whatever that are going to pronounce him guilty no matter what the verdict actually is and act accordingly on their own.
See, and I disagree. I agree with that fact, but I disagree with the fact that it could happen. I believe we should probably think in terms of obeying the law. And the people that are going to be after me or after you are giving the problems with the outcome of this particular case are not being in accordance with the law. I mean, I would rather see the...
That's where you'd like to see it, but the KKK is still around. I don't know if they go out and burn people anymore, but they used to take the law in their own hand and go...
Yeah, but you know, when you say that, don't preface it that way, because you know what? So is the Black Panthers, and that's not fair to say. You can say the KKK, but if you're going to say that, then you need to turn around and say that the Black Panthers are also very much in mode. In fact, to the point that there was voter obstruction, and Holder threw out a case in 2008.
Exactly.
And in 2010. So don't say that the KKK is still around and not bring up this sheer case of, and if you're going to do that, then bring up the mafia. Do you know the whole purpose of the mafia was? The whole purpose of the mafia was nothing more than to be individual neighborhood vigilante groups to protect the females.
Protect the what?
And the damn KKK happens to be Democratic and not Republican. I hold no party affiliation except to libertarianism. But when you guys caused me, this is asinine.
I did mention the Black Panther Party, the new Black Panther Party, and the bounty that they had on Zimmerman's head, which is $10,000 bounty, and them actually saying that they don't obey white man's law and don't follow American law. So, you know, that is a black hate group similar to the KKK, which is what I was referring to.
Well, I realize that, but when you bring up the word KKK, bring up the word Black Panther, too, because it's not fair. It's not a fair comparison.
I see.
Mm-hmm. Well, I did mention both, but both of them, but the Black Panther group has come out publicly, said they don't care what the law says, and so now I haven't heard anything
no,
in the news about it. Yeah, about the Black Panther lately, but that could be because of my time and that I have to look in the news. But it'd be groups like that that come out, because all it takes is just a few people to come out there and get in front of a microphone to rally up the hatred in people and to get things going, good or bad. A lot of times, bad.
Well, okay, what microphone are they going to get in front of?
All they have to do is just get up on a stage or something with a megaphone or whatever and just growl up people. It's not that hard to do. Not that I've tried.
Well, that's true. It's not that hard to do because you growl up. But you're talking about small groups of people, and I thought, you know, I was under the impression that we're talking about the society as a whole. But we're talking about.
Okay. Whoa. Let's back up here. Okay, guys. Getting to. 22nd century, okay? Ladies, do you not understand it takes one person on social media? It doesn't take a megaphone anymore.
No.
It takes a tweet. That's all it takes is one tweet. From a tweet, it goes to a riot. Have you not seen these?
See, I haven't even figured out how to use Twitter. I mean, how do you find anything on Twitter?
Well, no, but
you
she's
have
right,
to
though.
Sign up to two people that you want to assign to. But that's what I'm saying is we're too old. We don't know the technology. I don't know how to tweet. I know how to Facebook. I'm good at that. Love how to use Pinterest. Know how to use that one. But, no, these kids know it takes one comment, and they can all conglomerate in one location at one given time with one sole purpose. And then as they got the tweet, then they tweet it out to all their friends, or they Facebook it out to all their friends, and then it just grows and grows and grows. And it's like, if you remember when you were in kindergarten or first grade, you were usually all lined up in a row, and somebody started, the teacher would say this, and she would whisper in someone's ear. And by the time you got it all the way down to the line, it was completely different from what the teacher had said. That's the same thing that happened.
Okay, let me ask you this. How do we get around this? I mean, once you put a tweet on there and it's bad, or you get that following of badness, shall we say, how do you get away from that? How do you stop it?
You can't.
No, you can't. And like she's saying is that all you have to do is put something that's called a hashtag out there, which is like a keyword. And like Kill Zimmerman, for example, would be a hashtag, and people find that. And then all it takes is somebody that's, oh, hey, man, I think he's guilty anyways. Oh, look, people are getting together over here on Twitter at this place over here. Let's go take care of him, dude.
So we're damned. We're just absolutely damned. There's no way we can get around
it. Yeah. Until we educate our children. Yeah, until you educate the children that, no, this is not acceptable behavior. No, you cannot do this.
Do you say you send your son to a public school?
Yeah, I do.
Seems to me like I would not. I would want my kid educated in some way.
If I had a choice in the matter, I wouldn't. But because I'm the sole food provider for this household, I have to.
That's
okay,
I understand.
And my child is an excellent band student. My child plays 5 different instruments. And that's something that there is no way in God's green earth that I can teach him at home. I can teach him reading, arithmetic, but I cannot teach him his band skills. And when my kid goes out of his way to take his not to eat lunch and to go learn to play new instruments, who am I to break that stride? Mm-hmm.
Well, it sounds to me like you've done the right thing as far as he's concerned, as far as raising hints is concerned. He's probably in a good place. See, in my opinion, what I would do if I was you, and if it was entirely possible, and I would make sure it was possible, I'd leave and go to a different state. It didn't have these problems.
No, actually, I'm looking at leaving the country.
I don't know if I would necessarily go that far, because you can come to the Northwest and not have that problem. But if you leave and go to a different country, you can have the same problem in a different country. So it's hard to say. But you can get out of the middle of it instead of stay there. And I understand that's not an easy thing to do, because it costs money, it takes time.
Spencer, it's way too cold. No. And I can't pay the heating bill. It's bad enough here. I'm not going to where you crazy people live in the Northwest. Unless you have an abundance of trees.
We got lots of rain, too, if you like some.
Yeah.
No, I'll share some of ours, though. Would you like some? Because we have it. We're like 36 inches over where we're supposed to be right now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, believe it or not, Washington is not the highest rain area. There's a lot of places that have as much. Did you realize that Chicago has as much rain as we do? It's amazing. Well, I found that out. But, I don't know. I would try to get out of there. I would try to leave and go somewhere. Even if it is a different country, that's fine. If you can, again, you speak of speaking the language. I mean, you'd have to go to a country where you speak the language, I would think, or else you would have to learn how to speak the language of the country you want to go to. And, of course, we're talking about a long time, and I would be out of there right away. I would leave tomorrow.
Well, okay, let me ask you one question, though, okay, because I find this very interesting. What is the ethnicity ratio, white to black or white to brown, in your particular state? Because I think that makes a huge difference.
As a matter of fact, it's white to brown. It's becoming almost brown. We don't have as many black people, but we have more brown people than we do. And I don't know what the ratio is legally, but it's pretty close.
Yeah, I don't have the figures in front of me either.
See, I'm not buying that, because for me personally, there is no way I would leave this community. I guess apparently in the Northeast or Northwest, you have such a negative connotation of the South. Is what I gather from the way that you've reacted towards
me.
Well,
I do personally. I don't know that everybody does. I just have. I've always felt this way. I've never wanted to go to the South. I mean,
I've never wanted to go to the Northwest. You people are crazy.
Okay.
Y'all are liberal.
Okay.
Y'all are nuts. Y'all have ticks.
Well, I wish I could argue.
It's cold. And it rains.
Actually, as far as the rain is concerned, that's a bit.
And you talk weird, too.
I always joke that the Oregon legislature is always good for a laugh. So.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we're all going to have our mindsets that are different than one another, especially on location. You know, coming from the South, going to that far, I mean, we already think you people are freaking on that side of the country anyway, because of California. Sorry, it runs off on the Northwest.
Well, California is nothing like the Northwest.
Right.
Nothing like
it. Yeah, it's close enough for comfort.
I think California is one of a kind. I've lived in California, too, for a long time and had no problems at all, but it's one of a kind, and it's different. But the Northwest is definitely a change. And Oregon is different than Washington, as far as Washington is concerned. The makeup of Oregon, as far as the number of people is concerned, is, like I say, I think we're pretty close to being as much brown as we are white. And then black is down on the list.
Yeah,
Well, I actually have some 2011 stats if you're interested.
Okay.
For Oregon, white persons 86% or 88%, blacks 2%. The Hispanics are running about 12%. Again, this is 2011 stats. So.
Wait!
Well, see, I disagree.
I thought it was all brown.
I disagree with that entirely. Entirely.
A couple of years ago.
It's wrong. It's just absolutely wrong. We're not 83%.
Well, no, that's because they multiply like rabbits.
Well, I'll tell you what, Cliff.
Oh, no,
I'll send a letter
you.
To the U.S. Census Bureau and tell them they're wrong and put your name on.
Okay. Okay, you do that. Okay. Because I don't think that we're 88% white. It depends on what white is considered.
Well, if you get down to it, it says 78% is white people, not Hispanic. I don't know what that means.
I think Hispanic people are a lot more than they say they. I think we've got as many of them as California does.
Well, of course, that's assuming that people actually answer the census polls.
There's also something to consider, too, in Oregon, is the density of the population. I mean, you guys are really widespread, okay? And so you don't have such dense population as those on the East Coast.
Right.
That's true. We don't have any place that's dense.
Sure.
I mean, Portland is not as
well, it depends on your definition of dense. If you're talking about population, no. If you're talking about people, sorry, I had to throw that in.
Well, are you familiar with Agenda 21?
No.
Really?
What is that supposed to be?
You might need to look it up. Oh, it's not what it's supposed to be. It is a UN initiative that is actually being forced upon this country, and every inkling of local government. You know, might want to check to see. I'm sure that I can probably look that up for you to see if Portland's part of Italy.
Well, I'm.
I would highly recommend that you look it up. If you're not familiar with that, then you don't get the general idea of where I'm coming from with all of this and the population and the way. And you're right; they are trying to force a race war.
Right. Agenda 21 is a non-binding voluntarily implement action of the United Nations with regard to sustainable development, a product of the UN Conference on Environment and Development, the UNCED, held in Rio de Janeiro. And I'm scanning the articles about what it's all. But I have heard about some UN nations that are...
Okay.
Go ahead.
Right. So let's go from there, all right? Clinton tried to get this passed, and it was a treaty that they wanted passed. Didn't get passed. So what Agenda 21 did is they went into local communities. And if you take this grant, you'll be subject to these rules and these regulations. But we'll give you the grant money as long as you follow these rules and regulations. Well, you know, I've been on this, I've been watching this for 5.5 years. Believe it or not, I've been television free for 6 years. Not many people can say that. But I'm boob-tube free.
Okay.
And so
how do you get your news?
Internet.
Okay.
I can look up everything. You know, I can get more information.
The only thing problem with the internet is that you can look up everything slanted your direction.
What, do you mean if it's not on the internet, it's not true?
No, I'm saying that you can look up the same thing.
Weird, because, you know, I can look up and listen or watch Fox News and then, you know, push my little button and get actually read the text of the article or the newscast from Fox News versus what's in Pravda versus what's in Gestir. You know, I have a comparison base. I get more information about the United States from overseas news media than I can from my own country.
Mm-hmm. And you think it's right?
Well, ours has been
owned
a lot.
Do I trust my media?
You think that the other countries, the other media from other countries doesn't lie to you? You think that they have more information about us than we do?
I don't know. What do you think?
I don't. I don't agree. You know,
you're really buying into the crap of the Alphabet News of the United States. You really trust them.
Well,
that discredits you more to me than anything else I could have heard all day.
Alphabet News is ABC, CBS, and that's what that term means.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Fox. I'm reading some of the text of the Agenda 21, which is what I like to do is try to get as much source as possible. And basically, if I understand, just by scanning over real quick, is a global initiative for, to put it evenly or simply, everybody getting into your lives and more regulations.
Right, called sustainable development. Now,
right.
You know, where I started with the story is,
okay.
You know, I, as I told you, I've been television for you for 6 years. You know, I've been pressing my dad. And dad, you need to pay attention to this. Dad, you need to pay attention to this. Oh, no, you're full of crap. You don't know, you have no clue what you're talking about. Until it came locally when there was an ordinance that he couldn't develop his hillside. Why? Because it was part of Agenda 21, because my particular city was part of ICLEI. And they said, oh, no, anything above a 20% grade, you can't develop. And he's like, excuse me? It's my property. I bought it. If I want to put a house on the top of the hill, I can put a house on the top of the hill. Oh, no, you can't. It wouldn't look pretty. That's not sustainable. That's your Agenda 21.
Mm-hmm.
That is what the EPA is implementing each and every single day that is encroaching on everything. Just because the collective doesn't like it doesn't mean that the individual does not have the right to pursue their happiness, their prosperity. So you know what my dad did? He went up on the hillside and he chopped down every damn tree. Everyone. Cut them to the ground.
What did he do with the trees?
For a year and a half, he let it sit there. Now, there was nothing that they could do.
You get in trouble or get excited for doing that?
He went back and he planted Christmas trees. And he said, you know what? 10 years, I'll clear cut it again. And we'll see how that hope and change and prosperity is working out. Is that what you want? If someone wants to plant a house or build a house on the top of a hillside, that's their choice if they own the property. But because somebody else decides that's not going to look pretty, doesn't mean, or if that's not sustainable, it's not their business. If you own the property, it's a property rights issue. What they're trying to do is to force you into smaller and smaller and urban communities.
Well, as far as the property rights issue is concerned, as far as I agree. I lived in California, in Needles, California, which is the Mojave Desert, and you can't dig a well in the middle of your own property in the Mojave Desert. you don't own the mineral rights or the water rights to the property, no matter if when you bought it, because there just isn't any water, and you'd be taking it away from somebody else. So you, just because you own that property doesn't mean you have every right to do everything, anything you want to with it.
Well, that's the same thing here.
That's a good thing, right?
Well, yes, I do, because, you know, if you were allowed to do that, you're encroaching on somebody else's rights.
Well, on the contrary, is going to go along with that, like here in Eugene, for example, if we have a tree that is diseased or whatever, or we just want to clear it, we're not allowed to do it unless we go to the city or county and get permission and a permit to do it. Otherwise, we can get fined because it doesn't meet their plans. So we don't have a choice. In fact, in Eugene also, they also tell you that you have to have trees and such by your place. No, your place has to look a certain way. Your garage in new homes, your garage has to be on the left-hand side of the house. And so your freedom of choice would be really lucky.
Now, I'm with the lady. I disagree with that. I would raise hell.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, is this really the way that you want to live? Is that freedom?
Not that way. There are some things I can understand. I can understand taking the water away from somebody else and not being able to do that. And there are a lot of rules and regulations that are that. But just to make it look pretty or that sort of thing, no, I disagree. I should be able to do whatever I want to on my property. I agree. So it depends on the situation as far as I'm concerned. As far as chopping all the trees down on top of
it. I think it is in Oregon. It may be in Washington. There was a gentleman who dug three ponds.
Mm-hmm.
You know he's facing jail time?
Did you look at the size of the ponds? Did you look at the size of the ponds?
Yeah, I did.
Look at very careful of what I understand what
they're
you're saying,
lakes.
But I just
And if they're not lakes, they're ponds, and it's on his property. So therefore, he was wrong because he dug a hole. Now you have to factor in the consequence of erosion. So they may not have started out that large.
What you have to factor in is that all of the water is there. It's not leaving anyone for anyone
else. But it was rainwater, and it was his property. So therefore, he's wrong because
yes.
He wanted to collect
water. I looked at that
myself. I'm talking to levels. God. Please, by the grace of God, can we please have another civil war so we can separate? Because this is illogical. What that man does on his own property, as long as he's not contaminating the water, as the GMOs, as Monsanto's, which apparently you people are all in favor of in the Midwest. That's another story. I mean, just please let us just separate the country. I mean, it really needs to be divided. If this is the attitude that I get from someone from the Northwest, I've never spoken to anybody from the Northwest. So it has been a very interesting conversation to get a mindset where you people think.
Okay.
Absolutely. Is it kind of creepy?
Okay.
Yeah, it's very creepy. But it's been a pleasure,
well, thank
guys,
you much.
And thank you.
And thank you for calling. Okay. I did look into this guy with the three ponds. And I agreed with the government saying that he couldn't do that.
Well, the news originally, if you went by the headlines, it didn't sound like, you know, a pond, you don't think of it as being that large, but these were fairly large ponds, and I could see where the government was complaining about. But on the other side of the coin, there is rules, for example, like, I'm going by memory here, which heaven help us. Like water runoff off your house, you're only allowed to store, I think, 3 barrels of it, because they say that even though the water, you know, hit your roof, went down your gutters, you don't have the right to it. And they're saying because that affects the runoff to the streams or to the lakes, et cetera.
And one of the things I think this lady should take into consideration, maybe she hasn't realized that the difference between Western Washington and Eastern Washington is huge. Eastern Washington is a desert. Western Washington is quite the opposite. And this was Eastern Washington, and to keep to control the water is against the law. I mean, you can't control the water in a desert. I mean, you have to make it available.
Yeah.
And he was controlling huge amounts. I mean, true, it got there by rain, but he was, everybody else was depending on that rainfall for their water. And when he gathered it up and put it in a hole, it was not possible for them to have some. I mean, you got to consider other people's rights when you exercise your own rights. And that's what the government is supposedly, and I'm not saying that the government is always right or correct. Quite often they aren't, but they try in most cases. And that's when we get back to Obama. I think Obama's trying very hard to do something. It's just that I disagree wholeheartedly with what his something is.
Well, and like somebody said, that Obama, has not been successful. Well, yeah, he has in a way. He's been successful in getting everything that he wanted. But both callers, really good callers. Thank you very much. We still have time remaining in the program, 13 minutes remaining, 646-721-9887. If you'd like to chime in on this or anything else that you'd like to talk about, please give us a call. We've still got plenty of time.
It's an interesting day today, yeah. This has been fun. Myself, I think so. I disagree with what somebody says, and agree with some of what people say, but I simply agree with the fact that we've got to have what do I want to call it? Not government control, but we got to have control over the system. Somebody has to control. You can't just let everybody do exactly what they want to do. Just because you own the land doesn't mean that you can do anything you want to with it. Her story of building on top of a hill your house, or in this case he had the privilege of chopping down all the trees, I think that's really a little overboard. But I still feel he has the... Now, especially since he didn't seem to do anything with it, the lumber. I mean, if he had gone down and used the lumber or sold the lumber or made some sort of a profit from it. And, of course, he had to have done something with it if he's going to replant it with Christmas trees.
Well, I mean, and on the other side, too, a lot of stuff that isn't seen. Like, for example, if you live in a suburban community where the tallest building is a two-story building, you don't want somebody coming down next door to you and building a four-story building. I mean, that's against the ordinances for that area. Same thing, too. If you are going to put a large structure on a hill, Cliff, you should know this, from your radio days, there are other agencies involved that you wouldn't think of. Like, for example, the FAA needs to know about it because of because of aircraft navigation.
Right, right.
So there's a lot of things you wouldn't think of that would be quite...
Well, that's why we have the rules and regulations. That's why we have the agencies that consider different rules and regulations. FAA considers one thing, and somebody else considers something else. And that's why we need to check in with every one of them. You can't just go and do whatever you want to do because it can mess everybody up.
Exactly. And to kind of get back to one point that she was saying about, or that we were commenting about, the intelligence of people, you would think or you would hope that people in general would use common sense, and especially, the kids, like your comment about public schools. But that being said, there's a cartoon, which I've watched a couple times, I don't like it, it's called Beavis and Butthead, where at the beginning of the cartoon, they give a disclaimer saying, these are just cartoons. Do not mimic them, because one of the episodes that made the news was Beavis and Butthead was laying in the middle of a freeway on the white line, And kids started doing that and started getting hit by cars. Oh, gee, you're laying in the middle of the road. Guess what's going to happen? But the fact that, you know, you would think common sense, road, car, two together, squash, you know, death.
I see, unfortunately, putting the little notice in front of don't do this didn't cut it.
No.
Because people don't read the little notice to begin with. They only see what happened during the cartoon or the program. And people are going to imitate things like that. It's people don't think. They're not properly. And so consequently, Beavis and Butthead, I think, does a lot of harm. I think a lot of the – I'm afraid I'm dead set against a lot of the cartoons that are on television, a lot of the kids' programs that are on television, even on the kids' network, are, I think, very damaging.
Yeah, but, you know, we were raised with, you know, like Yogi Bear and what stuff, and I've never had a uncontrollable urge to start stealing picnic baskets.
No comment. possibly because you're not a bear. And I mean, these things are, you know, these Beavis and Buttheads are people. They're not bears. You know, I didn't do everything that Donald Duck does either. But it's different when you're representing your cartoon characters as people, and I think that's bad. And I disagree with. See, there's a lot of stuff I've watched. I never watched Beavis and Butthead, and I don't know what they do. I've seen it, and I what I did see of it was offensive to me. But I have watched some of the programming on. For children, regardless of where it's for, I've watched that because some of my grandkids and nephews and nieces and such come over, and they watch it, and I sit down and watch it with them.
Go ahead. Finish your point.
I was just going to say I disagree with a lot of it. There's a lot of it that I think is very damaging and very harmful that they do. Anyway, that's it.
Okay, here's the exact quote of that. Beavis and Butthead are not role models. They're not even human. They're cartoons. Some of the things they do could cause a person to get hurt, expelled, arrested, possibly deported. To put it another way, don't try this at home. And that's what they say at the beginning of every show.
Yeah, but how many people listen to it?
Well, it's back to the same argument of video games, you know, are getting to be so realistic that people are getting desensitized to reality and feel that they can go out and blast somebody in real life and they'll just get their life back and get points.
I agree. They are being desensitized, and I disagree with that kind of... the mass media, which is what this all is all about, is very, very influential. And you can say, you know, even watching movies, you can say that they don't bother you and they don't create any problems. They do. People do imitate movies and imitate the people in the movies. And whether you like it or not, they do that. And there's nothing you can do to stop them, except maybe stop doing it. But, you know, that's why there are some movies I can agree with the parents who say, I don't want my kids to see that. I don't want them to learn that.
Well, and go ahead.
There is a point that you've got to give in to that, however. You know, when the kid's 17 years old, you can say you're not allowed to watch that movie, but there's a point where that ends.
Well, it's like smoking, saying you can't do it, and you're going to do it because you said you can't do it. Real quick here, 5 minutes remaining in the program, 646-721-9887. At the onset of the program, I mentioned we have a What the Heck segment. If we can go ahead, leave that in real quick here. Assuming the screen will stop jumping around.
You have got to be kidding me. What the heck were they thinking? Can you actually believe they did that?
It's Robin's What the Heck Are They Thinking Award, where Robin picks out some of the dumbest and most ridiculous headlines of the week. And now, with this week's picks, here's Robin.
Okay, this kind of goes along with somewhat of the topic we've been talking about today. Headline, Teen Justin Carter jailed in Texas after making sarcastic threat in a Facebook comment.
Sarcastic threat to whom?
basically, he was, as my screen, stop stepping around. My mice is dying.
Ah.
I hit Mrs. to pieces. Anyways, he was having a Facebook argument with somebody regarding the League of Legends, which is an online video game, with a notorious diehard fan. Justin's father, Jack, explained to ABC local affiliate KVUE at the end of the conversation, someone had said something over the effect of, you're insane, you're crazy, you're messed up in the head, to which Justin replied, oh yeah, I'm real messed up in the head. I'm going to shoot up a school full of kids and eat their still beating hearts. And the next two lines were LOL or JK, which means laughing out loud or just kidding. Well, with that, the woman in Kent complained to officials, and which, because of making the threat, got Justin arrested.
And who is this Justin?
He is a 19-year-old in Texas.
He's not a famous Justin.
No, he's not that Justin.
Oh, okay.
We always ignore that Justin.
There are a couple of Justins that are famous. I mean, the ridiculous thing is we are really getting carried away with what we're putting on the screen and what we're putting on the Facebook and all of these tweets and everything else. Then we've got to find a way to just ignore that because, again, though you've got to make it available to kids to watch and to read, and they're going to use it wrong.
Well, yeah. There should be a hashtag or whatever that just says, just kidding. But anyways, Carter was taken into custody and charged with making terrorist threats.
Ah, terrorist, huh?
Terrorist threats.
And who said this? Who made this charge?
This came from the Austin, Texas Police Department. Which says that they take any threat made against school seriously. So we're getting back to that, if you have little plastic men on your ball cap, that you're a threat to society.
Well, it's getting to the point that you can't decide who is and who isn't making a threat. And so somebody has to make a decision and do something about it. And I wouldn't want to be on a police department or any kind of authority at this particular point in my life, because that would scare me to death. I'd be making the wrong decisions every time, I think.
Right. Well, anyways, Carter's parents have lost a website called change.org petition seeking signatures to protest her son's situation based on the grounds of freedom of speech, which kind of does... You know, I mean, anymore, you just got to be really careful.
Well, freedom of speech has taken a whole different attitude than it used to be. Let me tell you, freedom of speech is speech goes a lot further than it used to. You know, if it's just to the people around you, that's one thing. But the internet has made freedom of speech scary.
Yes, absolutely. You got to be very careful. And like the old rules of thumb says that if you put something on the internet and take it right off, it's there forever.
Well, once it's there.
Anyways, great calls, people. Thank you very much for participating, and we'll be back again next Saturday, 1 p.m., and I hope you'll join us.
We'll have to do this again. Have a good day, everybody.
Check us out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.